When you're right, well, you're right. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, this is Mike Kellogg. Key Life, getting you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness to Christ. Our Bible teacher is Steve Brown. And here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. If you're just joining us, we're studying the book of Ezekiel as a part of a much longer series where we're looking at the entirety of the Old Testament. But I'm not doing it verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm an old guy, and we just simply wouldn't make it. I'd be dead before we got through it. So I'm looking at each book of the Old Testament, looking at some of my favorite passages, giving you some exegetical notes whereby you can read that book. And by the way, our staff are putting together, I'll tell you about it later, but they're putting together a booklet, an Old Testament survey booklet. They're probably going to be three of them for this entire survey. It'll give you some of the basic information that I've given you if you've missed some of these broadcasts, and that will really help you in a very a concise way in your own study of the Old Testament. What I'm doing now in Ezekiel, having done all of the other stuff that one must do in terms of dealing with the prophecy of a particular book, we're going through it, and I'm a tour director pointing out some of the wonderful sights along the way. Now, we saw yesterday that chapter, and I didn't read anything from it, but chapters 25 through 32, and that's in our outline, chapters 1 through 3, Ezekiel's called by God to be a watchman, chapters 4 through 24, Ezekiel, at the behest of God, goes after God's people, especially in Jerusalem. Then in chapters 25 through 32, and that's what we talked about yesterday, Ezekiel goes after the surrounding nations. In chapters 33 through 48, Ezekiel becomes a pastor binding up the wounds of God's people. Now, yesterday we saw that Ezekiel goes after the surrounding nations, and he says, you are going to get it. And you are going to get it because you've been messing with the heart of God, and that's his people. And I suggested yesterday that that's still true. If you're a Christian, God doesn't need any defending. What he says is true, and it's simply true. You got to say it, you got to stand, but you got to let God do the protecting. Then I want to show you something. If you have your Bible, turn to Ezekiel 33, 30 through 31. Something about prophecy and the vindication of Ezekiel. This is what God says. As for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes forth from the Lord. And they come to you as people come. Why were they doing that? After all the bad stuff that he had said, I'll tell you. Because they realized, this man is of God. This man has integrity. What this man says is true. He has a life that matches his words. He has a prophecy that always comes true. Now, there's the downside of that. And they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with their lips they show much love, but their heart is set on their gain. You want to draw a crowd? Let me tell you how to do it. Just be right. If you're going to draw a crowd, be right, and the world will beat a path to your doorway. Ronald Reagan is held up as a model of presidency because he was right, stood before the Berlin Wall and said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And the liberals said, well, this isn't a political broadcast, and I don't want to be honing my political views here, but some people who were nice people, no, they were twits, and they said, you don't, that's like pulling the whiskers in a lion, don't Don't do that. Man, they're going to eat you alive. Look at the missiles they've got. And you're just going to stir them up? You can't say that. And the voice rings out, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. You know what happened? The wall got torn down, and Reagan smiled and said, I was right. And everybody knew he was right, and history has proved that he was right. You want to draw a crowd? Be right. Hal Lindsey is an acquaintance of mine, and I like him a lot. And I love his study of prophecy. I love the way he spends so much time in his broadcast dealing with it. But, and I've said this to him, and he knows it, and he laughed when I did. He was on a television program that I had once. I no longer have it. The name of the program was called The Late Steve Brown. It was syndicated across the country. And now it's The Late Steve Brown, Show. At any rate, I had Hal on one of the broadcasts to talk about prophecy. I said a couple of things to him. He said, I said, tell me about this rapture thing. And does that mean if I'm driving down the street and the rapture happens, I'm going to be taken right out of the car, and the car's still going to be moving? He said, oh, yes, yeah, Steve, that's what it means. And I turned to the camera and I said, aim it at a pagan. We got some negative letters, but, you know, we always do. And then I said, Hal, back when I first read your book, and it's been about 25, 30 years ago, you said that Jesus was coming back, like, soon. So I sold everything that I had, and I became homeless, and I sat there and I waited, and Jesus didn't come back. Now, on this broadcast, do you want to tell everybody you were wrong, or was God wrong? Then he laughed, and he said, no, he said, I don't know, but man, I can be wrong about this. He was winsome, and he was vulnerable, and he was open about it. But you want to draw a crowd. You know, if Jesus had come back, Hal Lindsey, I mean, during the period when Hal was suggesting that he might come back, if he had, oh, man, Hal would have had a place right up by the throne, and everybody would be wanting to spend time with him in heaven. You want to draw a crowd? You want to draw a crowd? Just be right. You know something? I want to be around when Jesus comes back. Now, I don't know. I don't know if all the stuff that's happening in the Middle East has to do with prophecy. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. And we're going to especially talk about it when you get to Book of Daniel, which is the next book we're going to look at. But I don't know. And, you know, Jesus may come back tomorrow. If he'd come before Thursday, it'd sure solve a lot of problems for me. And if I knew he was coming on Thursday, I'd run up my credit cards. Man, I'll tell you, I'd have 2 days you wouldn't believe. No, it's a joke. Don't write letters. But I'd like to be alive when Jesus comes back. You know why? So I could say, no, 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 no. So I could say, I told you so. You laughed at me when I said he was going to come back, and you thought I was some kind of weirdo. And I just want to be around so I can say, I told you so. That to me would be a wonderful. That's what happened with Ezekiel. And later on, when everything that Ezekiel said happened, or would happen, did happen, Ezekiel became a very popular pastor among his people. As for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls at the doors of the houses, say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes forth from the Lord. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people. Experience will teach you. It's the best teacher, but experience teaches in a funny way. Experience gives you the test and then gives you the lesson. Now, let's move on to something else. If you'll open your Bible to Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16, I want you to experience some of the guilt that I feel when I read this passage. Now, it's Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16, where the book of Ezekiel, or Ezekiel, says, thus says the Lord, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will, talking about the Lord, seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. In the valleys and in the inhabited places of the country I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. They shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture? And have drunk of the clear waters that you must foul the residue with your feet. As for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. Thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge. Well, I'm not going to go on. But that passage is a passage where God says to the shepherds of his people, you have made a mess of it. Talk more about it later, but Pastor, for today, you be careful. You think about that. Amen. Well, I ran out of time before I ran out of words. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Listen, our staff has put together one of three. They're going to eventually be three that will cover all of this material, at least the basics of it, from our Old Testament survey. And Genesis to Esther is ready, and if you'd like it, I'll send it to you absolutely free. Just let us know. You can call 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org and ask for the first of the three booklets on the Old Testament survey. And I'd be glad to send it to you. And it's absolutely free, and we'll send it as long as supplies last. But listen, if you can help us financially, please do. That makes you a champion for so many others, and I promise to be faithful with your gift. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, and include it in your envelope. And for any gift of any size, when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching Facets of God's Love, The Depths of God's Love for you. Hey, I gotta go. Be sure and give us the call letters of the station when you write. And Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.